Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIE10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Taking a live look at Geneva, Switzerland, where President Biden, Russian President Vladimir Putin, they are holding their first face-to-face meeting behind closed doors.
I caught part of President Putin's press conference.
And so we might as well start learning Russian.
The White House press secretary actually said he's been preparing for this moment for 50 years. There's possibly no other U.S. president who has had as much experience interacting with Russia.
You know, I wasn't going to say this at all, but I can't help it. There you go again.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
And sadly, what we've seen over the last 4 years, and particularly since our election in 2020, is that we have people within our own country who are doing Putin's work.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Everyone knows or has heard at least of the Catholic prayer Hail Mary, right? The Hail Mary pass. It's going to have to be renamed. Under the Joe Biden administration, the prayer is going to have to be reworked. Hail Mary, birthing parent of God. As 781 says, come on, man. Come on, man. 844-500-4242.
Come on, man.
There's one story we haven't been covering very much of because it's kind of ridiculous. But Greg Jarrett did a nice takedown on it. The New York Times has been trying to gin up another Trump scandal that the Trump Justice Department at one point subpoenaed phone records of Adam Schiff, Pencilneck from California, and Eric Swalwell. And we know what he's most famous for other than Fang Fang, the Chinese spy. They were subpoenaing their phone records to try to find out who they were leaking to, leaking top secret documents. That's a crime. So, of course, Adam Schiff says this is a blow to the Constitution. This is a direct attack on the Republic. But of course, he was leaking. That's why. And he has used the same procedures to get the phone records of people who weren't accused of crimes, just to smear them. And Greg Jarrett laid it all out here in a column from Fox News. Spare me the pious lecture and phony indignation. Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat, California, threw an apocalyptic fit the other day when he learned what he had done to others was done to him. The Trump Department of Justice obtained his phone records along with those of another California Democrat, Eric Swalwell, and several journalists. Their data was seized pursuant to grand jury subpoenas. That means it's legal. Served on Apple in 2017 and 2018 when Schiff was the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee and Swalwell was his lackey in chief. The DOJ was trying to track down government leaks to reporters of classified information. It's a shame the investigations didn't get further along. There were crimes committed. When Schiff learned last Thursday that his phone records had been collected, the House Democrat called it a blatant attack on our democracy. Cue the feigned outrage and sanctimony. So Fauci thinks he's science, and Schiff thinks he's democracy, apparently. The insufferably self-righteous Schiff, he is, of course, from Framingham, so he has the Massachusetts connections, not to mention Harvard Law School. So to be perfectly insufferable, you do need a Massachusetts connection, I think. Schiff didn't bother to note that he was guilty of engaging in the exact same tactics. Moreover, he was counting on the mainstream media to cover it up. Naturally, they complied. Here's a quick refresher on his duplicity. During the Trump impeachment proceedings in 2019, this was round one, he secretly subpoenaed the phone records of ranking intelligence Republican Devin Nunes of California, Trump attorneys Rudy Giuliani and Jay Sekulow, attorney Victoria Tensing, journalist John Solomon, Fox News host Sean Hannity, and others. Schiff's secured the records from a telecommunications provider, just as the DOJ had done. But whereas the Justice Department was endeavoring to locate criminal leaks of classified information, Schiff was simply snooping on political opponents, or as the Wall Street Journal called it, abusing surveillance power for drive-by smears of Republicans in a free press. Schiff then compounded the injustice by publishing the call records and some telephone numbers of those he had targeted. When he was sued for the records and of how he had obtained these phone records, Schiff told the appeals court that he had unlimited surveillance power and unfettered authority to invade the privacy rights of American citizens without notice. So that's the background of it. But you won't find any reference to it in the Washington Post or see it on CNN. It's as if Schiff never did it. There is no balance or equivalency in today's press, says Greg Jarrett. There is only a shameless double standard. The media yawned when Schiff covertly collected phone records and journalists, of phone records of journalists and lawyers. Now they're seething with anger that Trump's DOJ did it. Schiff has always been the beneficiary of media fawning because of his self-appointed role as Trump's chief antagonist in Congress. Documents made public last year show how Schiff knew all along there was absolutely no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, but that never stopped him from stoking incendiary rhetoric that his nemesis conspired with the Kremlin. He claimed to have secret evidence which never existed, and the gullible media lapped it up. Today, these same journalists, faux journalists, are still doing the bidding of Adam Schiff. Very nicely done, Greg Jarrett. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie. Yeah, but what really the remarkable thing about Donald Trump was his memory, not to mention his good looks and his charisma.
Charisma.
which doesn't have any, and he doesn't even know his own name.
No, he barely does know his own name. There's no question about that. Thanks for the call, Bruce. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hello, Mr. Carr. It's an honor, sir. Thank you for everything you do for all of us. You're a very brave man. Thank you. And I would like to get to the point. What about a lottery to get rid of Charlie Parker and his administration? I'm willing to throw in $500 right now. Thank you, Mr. Carr.
I'll match you, John. We'll give him $1,000 right out of the box to get rid of Charlie Parker. How much would it take to get Charlie Parker and Karen Pulido to simultaneously leave? Just get out of town. Haven't you done enough, Charlie? Haven't you ruined the state sufficiently? Why do you need to continue on? And by the way, there's some tough questions pending for him. There's some bubbling under the surface questions that he should be answering and should have answered them yesterday if we'd had a reporter or the Herald had a reporter at his press conference that could have asked him the questions. But today he decided he would flee Boston. Flee the 617 area code. He spent the day in first Worcester, and he had his one press availability of the day in Springfield at 4 o'clock, you know, which is not the end of the world. You know, I used to live out in that neck of the woods, but it's a long way to go for the Boston news media in these straitened times to drive out there to ask him a couple of questions. So he avoided the scrutiny that's coming his way very shortly about some people who are on his executive staff, or not maybe, who serve at his pleasure, let's put it that way, in assorted state agencies. If you read my column today, you'll have a better idea of what I'm talking about. And the column is posted, by the way, at HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com. And we had a great cheap bastard deal earlier in the day on the Eden Pure Bio Speed Clean Cordless Vac. And it sold out very quickly at half price, but you can still get a great deal on the cordless vac by going to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and enter code HOWIECLEAN at checkout to get $20 off their already low sales price plus free shipping. It costs you about $177 to get one of these vacuum cleaners. And they're cordless. They're very lightweight. They're very powerful. They cost about $200 to $300 less than their main competitors there. It's a really good buy. And if they, it's sold out on the cheap bastard deal, but you can still get it for save $200 or $300 off their competitors. Go to EdenPure.com, click the radio banner, and enter code Howie Clean at checkout for $20 off the sales price of the Eden Pure Bio Speed Clean Cordless Vac. Plus, you will get free shipping. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Here's a quote from a recent lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal. The president's economists are predicting the return of stagflation. Remember stagflation? We had it 40 years ago under Jimmy Carter, along with the misery index. It came back with Barack Obama in 2009. Stagflation crushes your retirement savings. The economy doesn't just stagnate, it regresses. A dollar buys less every month. The inflation rate since last May is 6.6%. That means every dollar you owned a year ago only buys 94 cents worth of goods now. You can already see it in the headlines. Inflation triples, gasoline prices spiraling, Democrats pushing huge tax increases on income and capital gains. The Fed's printing money they don't have. So what are you going to do now to protect your money? Well, many turn to Goldco, the leading gold IRA company in the U.S. and four-time Inc. 500 winning company. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of five-star customer reviews, you can trust the team at Goldco to help you protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr to request your free IRS loophole guide and learn how you can take control of your retirement. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay and fall victim to another stock market crash, inflation hike, or dollar decline. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to get your free IRS loophole guide today. If you visit goldco.com/Howie Carr now, Goldco will give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's right, up to $10,000 in free silver. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie will be right back after a quick trip to the Redemption Center.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Howie Carr is back.
Support your brain health and cognitive performance with Superbeats Memory and Focus. Get your Superbeats Memory and Focus today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you think the big guy will get a cut of Hunter Biden's new painting racket?
Yes. He gets a cut of everything. That's the way it works in a crime family.
81% say yes. And we have more Hunter Biden news from the emails.
Is this the Asian?
Yes. Do you have that story?
I'm holding it in my hand.
Where'd you get that?
I guess Grace printed it up, and I don't think she used it. She didn't get to it, so I was just going through, as I always do, I was just going through the trash, and there it is. Would you like to talk about it? You could feel free to talk about it.
No, it's your show.
Here's the headline is, this is from the Daily Mail, of course, because, you know, you wouldn't expect the Washington Post and the New York Times. They're too busy celebrating their latest Pulitzers for covering up and writing stories about Russian disinformation. So here's some more Russian disinformation from Hunter Biden's laptop. Hunter referred to Asians with a slur in 2019 text. This was with his cousin, Caroline Biden, who's a real pip herself. Not bad looking, but she's got a lot of miles on her chassis. Caroline Biden, President Joe Biden's niece, was texting Hunter discussing setting him up with some of her rich model friends. In the January 2019 conversation, she asked her cousin, "Do you want foreign or domestic? I can't give you bleeping Asian. Sorry, I'm not doing it." To which the president's son replied, "Domesticated foreigner is fine. No yellow." No yellow? Do you know what people get canceled for in this society now? I mean, last week it came out that he used the N-word over and over again in conversations with his lawyer. But now he's referring to Asians as, you heard what I said. Meanwhile, Caroline, she's a real pip off the chip off the old block. In 2009, she was briefly detained by Amtrak police. They all love Amtrak, those Bidens. They love Amtrak and they love booze and drugs.
Do you know who I am?
She was briefly detained by Amtrak police after a dispute over a train fare, and in 2019, she was accused of assaulting a New York Police Department officer who broke up a fight. She was sent to an anger management rehab the following year. In 2017, Caroline admitted spending $110,000 on a stolen credit card in New York, and in December of last year, she spent 20 days in rehab for a DUI after crashing her car into a tree.
Good Lord.
In Pennsylvania.
The Kennedys already have a Caroline.
I'm sure that's who she's named after, by the way. There's no doubt about that. So just last month, though, the president of the United States vowed to stop the hatred and bias against Asians. And now his son, well, you just heard it. Why don't we tweet that story out, Taylor, in case people want to see it. And incidentally, I should tell you a little bit about this art scam he's got going, his newest racket. Somebody said there's a movie with Jimmy Caan in it and somebody else called Mickey Blue Eyes, I think it is, and it's about these guys use art as a way to launder money. And you know, in this case, it looks like life is imitating art here. The first son's initial foray into the art world has seen his pieces picked up by art dealer Georges Burgess, who has priced the younger Biden's artwork between $75,000 and $500,000, depending on the size and scope of the collage artwork. Biden's dealer, who represents Sylvester Stallone and did time in California for assault with a deadly weapon and terrorist threats. I think the terrorist threat charges against him were dropped. Plans to promote the art through a private showing in Los Angeles and an exhibition in New York. He thinks he can get $500,000. By comparison, a piece by Andy Warhol, who's been dead for, I don't know, 30-plus years. And the longer you've been dead, the more your art is worth, usually. A piece by Andy Warhol sold recently for $725,000 at a New York City auction, only $225,000 more than a piece by the president's son. Fox Business reached out to Burgess, the ex-con, to inquire about the transparency behind Hunter Biden's transactions, prompting an agency representing him to say, "As with every artist, sales are confidential, always, to protect the privacy of the collector. This is standard practice for transactions in galleries as well as auction houses." Oh, okay. So in other words, then I got to tell you who's buying this stuff. Remember when Ted Kennedy put his house on the market back, again, this was about 30 years ago, in suburban D.C., and the Chinese paid him $1 million more than the asking price. Eyebrows were raised. Do you think any eyebrows will be raised about this? Art consultant Martin Galindo told the New York Post that while he's, quote, not a fan of the work by Hunter that he's seen, quote, "I'm very positive that he's going to do well in the market because this industry is very much about," what's a simple way to put this? "It's like clout." I think that's a very good way to put it, Mr. Galindo. Referring to a psychedelic blue and pinkish inkwork by Hunter that resembles bacteria under a microscope, Galindo said, "Oh my God, that looks like COVID." A 67-year-old art collector on the Upper East Side called Hunter's work nice. "They're different," she said of some of his pieces. Still, the woman, who only gave her first name Jill, said, "Jill? Dr. Jill or a different Jill? I think a lot of people can do that." And she added of the president's son, "I wouldn't pay bleep for it because he's a criminal."
Now, are these pieces from his crack period or his meth period?
He's using a straw, so I would say they would be from his standard cocaine period, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, that's dull.
I don't know.
His better stuff was when he was on the meth.
I guess. I'll be investing in some Hunter Biden art. I'm Howie Carr. A lot of us are going to be on the move again this summer. So my advice to you, take your Raycons with you. Whether you're working out to a pumped up playlist or listening to a podcast on your commute, a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears can make all the difference. With Raycon, you get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Their wireless earbuds look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors with customizable gel tips for a comfortable in-ear fit. Raycons are built to go wherever you go, with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. And with a 24-hour battery life, they're a must-have for your daily grind, all day, every day. Get 15% off Raycon at buyraycon.com/Howie. Raycon has a 45-day happiness guarantee, so give them a try. You'll be surprised you ever went anywhere without them. That's buyraycon.com/Howie for 15% off your order. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. There was an interesting story today from Reason.com. I just tweeted it out. And you ought to look at it just to compare what happened to this guy in Nashville as opposed to what happened to Hunter Biden, which he's become even more fabulously wealthy with this latest art scam. And this guy in Nashville, Tennessee, he's a composer. He composed choral music, so he's never going to be a millionaire. Okay, he's 34 years old. His name is Daniel Elder, and he was well regarded in choral circles, and that church music.
How about choral reefs?
Not coral reef, choral music. But now he might as well be living on a coral reef. He might as well be living inside a coral reef. Because his publisher has blackballed him. No one in the industry is willing to buy his work. Local choral directors refuse to program his music for fear of provoking a backlash.
Is this part of that whole sheet music is racist thing?
No. Where do you hear this? They won't even let him sing in the choir. I mean, he's been totally canceled, this guy. 34 years old. He lives in Nashville, okay? So downtown Nashville. Because, again, he probably hadn't got two dimes to rub together, didn't have two dimes to rub together. He always considered himself a man of the center left. But he lived in downtown Nashville where there were mobs roaming and vandalizing places, trying to burn down the courthouse right around the corner from where he lived. And he was pretty disgusted about it. He found himself increasingly unnerved by the large number of emotional social media posts coming across his feeds that seemed to justify radicalism and groupthink. And so he started posting a few things on his Instagram account. And then he just couldn't get to sleep. He was just disgusted. So he deleted the entire account. But he penned one last farewell message, which was cross-posted to his Twitter and professional Facebook page. And this is what got him canceled and destroyed his life. This is what he said. Enjoy burning it all down, you well-intentioned blind people. I'm done. And he was instantaneously canceled, and his career was destroyed.
Why? Because he said blind?
No. Just enjoy burning it all down, you well-intentioned blind people. I'm done. Meaning he... As Reason says, the post was unambiguous. Elder was criticizing the activists who had set the courthouse on fire. He did not malign their cause or their ethnicity, and in fact, the perpetrator was white. He did not attack the Black Lives Matter movement or criminal justice reforms. He implied that the militants had good motives, well-intentioned, but were oblivious, blind, when it came to the self-defeating nature of their tactics.
I think this guy
that was
has
it.
To... I think, you know how
he's gone.
Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, they had the Highwaymen.
Yeah.
This guy should start like a canceled chorus. Just gather all the people around him that have been canceled. There was that country guy who said the N-word one time just to a friend, and he got completely canceled. I'm sure there are other people out there that are canceled too. Get them all together, start the canceled chorus.
This is about the most mild thing I've ever seen anybody canceled for. I'm sure I just haven't seen other things, but this is a real weird thing to be canceled for. Okay, let me read you some of the comments. One person called him a white supremacist piece of garbage. Garbage, okay.
He didn't interfere. He said, enjoy burning it all down.
Right. I will no longer recommend your compositions to colleagues. It's really a shame, wrote another, such beautiful music, and I really feel like I can't do any of it now. I'm a choir director and department head for a music department for a private school in Ohio. So these are all, he lives in a snowflake community. I want to inform you that your rhetoric surrounding the recent protests is unacceptable, and my school will not be programming your music unless and until a public apology is issued. You are canceled. Black Lives Matter. Do some research and maybe some inner reflection and maybe figure out where your racist tendencies are coming from. So apparently this group that he belonged to wrote him an apology, this groveling, sniveling apology that he was supposed to sign off on, and then he would be forgiven, and, you know, I guess he would have to be on double secret probation and parole and work release and the chain gang of choral music for the next 20 years or so. But he just said, I'm not going to do this. He said, I just can't do it. I chose to be that guy who didn't issue the apology, he says. Things went from there, and it wasn't good. Within hours, his group issued a denunciation. Wow. Good Lord. So that's the latest. 844, that's the latest in cancel culture. Maybe I should have saved that one for you for tomorrow.
Oh, I've got plenty of stuff for tomorrow that we haven't even thought of, so... You go ahead. Use up whatever you want for the rest of the week.
844-500-4242. 617 says about Hunter Biden, how many private sales will be from Russia, Ukraine, or China? And just compare what he said to what Hunter Biden said. First we found out about what he said about black people. Now we find out what he thinks about Asians. I mean, and there's no pushback whatsoever. A couple of commenters about the art show mentioned, what would happen if a regular artist, one who was not a Democrat, one who was not related to the President of the United States, had said these things? Do you think he would still be getting a gallery showing in New York City? Do you think that they would still be foreign buyers? Oh, I don't know, Chinese, Russians, Ukrainians, maybe a Romanian or two buying his stuff? I think not. I think not. 844-500-4242. I want to just throw out a new topic here for the last couple of segments. There was an interesting story in the Wall Street Journal this morning about how, you know, most people in a lot of industries, or most industries, I would say, have gone back to work. Most people went back to work very soon after the initial panic was over. But the people who work downtown, in the major metropolitan areas, in places like investment firms, banks, law firms, they haven't gone back. Fewer than 3 out of 10 white-collar employees were working in the office on average in 10 major cities, including New York, L.A., San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., according to Castle Systems. That's the nationwide security company that monitors access card swipes in more than 2,500 office buildings. As of last week, according to Castle, an average of 31% of office workers had returned to the workplace they occupied before the COVID-19 pandemic. Castle's chairman said, habits that have been formed over the past year and a half are going to take a while to break. You mean the habit of not doing anything, just squatting at home? I mean, that's what it's all about. You can couch it in whatever terms you want. And of course they do. According to the story, many workers prefer to work from home, some or all of the time. According to many surveys, some are pushing back when their employers tell them of their plans to reopen office spaces. And here we have it. Some continue to have health concerns, and some don't want to be vaccinated. Okay. I'll buy that they don't want to be vaccinated, but I'm not buying that they have any health concerns. If you're working in one of those downtown office towers, you probably have at least a bachelor's degree. And I'm not saying that a college degree means your intelligence, but you should be able to read, right? You should be able to understand charts. You should be able to understand you're not in any danger. But, I'm afraid to go back.
Come on, it's not about that. It's about staying in the pajamas.
Of course it is. That's what I'm saying. It's a fraud.
But I've also heard that people who are working from home, by and large, are more productive.
I'm not buying that for an instant.
I do know people that have employees working from home, and they say they're better off working from home. I've seen a lot more from them.
Well, let's just take the Massachusetts judicial system. Taylor, do you think they're more productive?
Oh, come on. Well, you can't compare state workers to private
to real workers?
Sector employees. No.
But I'm just saying they've rented out these places like Lombardo's in Randolph. And I just got a text yesterday saying that two or three days out of the week, they're charging $100,000 a month, I'm told, to rent this. And a lot of days, there's no judges in there. There's only two or three, four court officers in there. Nobody's working. No judges are picking up cases. Nobody's doing anything. Now they're going to have Juneteenth off. Now they have a new state holiday. It's going to be Friday. They're all going to have an official state holiday, as if they haven't had an official state holiday since March 23rd, 2020.
What, do we have Juneteenth off here at the Howie Carr Show?
No, we do not.
I'm writing my congressman.
I don't believe it's in your contract. You could check it out and get back to me, Taylor, and see if it's in your contract that you get
Juneteenth. I'm going to go back and get all retroactively all the Juneteenths I've worked here off.
844-500-4242. So this has a ripple effect, obviously, when these people don't come back to work, because, you know, there are all these little restaurants, just for starters, around all these towers. You know, people come in for coffee and a donut or a bagel in the morning, and then they come down for a sandwich or a salad or a soup in the afternoon. And these businesses would like to get back up and running again, but they can't because there's nobody downtown. The shops and restaurants that rely on office workers are left wondering, where are all the office workers? Says James Metham, executive director of New York City's Flatiron 23rd Street Business Improvement District. Before the pandemic, a workforce of about 100,000 would commute into the Flatiron area daily. Today, most of the office workers haven't returned. He said, quote, everyone knows full well that unless we're getting a much bigger chunk of those 100,000 people back, it's going to be difficult to continue. Salesforce.com, San Francisco's largest private employer, began reopening its offices there last month on a voluntary basis. You know how many, they have 10,000 workers in the city of San Francisco, downtown, Salesforce.com. Guess how many of the 10,000 have come back, Taylor?
2,000.
You overestimated by 10 times, 200. 200 out of 10,000.
Would you want to venture out of your house if you lived in San Francisco?
No.
Okay, then.
I don't think I'd be living there to begin with. I remember when I got out of college, I spent a little time in Palo Alto, a few weeks. It was a very nice place. I'm sure that San Francisco, not to mention that Palo Alto, does not exist any longer. We'll take some calls. Do you know people who don't want to go back to their offices and who claim they're working just as hard as ever from their couches? 844-500-4242. 802 says, I work for a very woke company and have no desire to go back to that environment. Would rather work from home and be left alone. What are you doing there in the first place? Or it could have become woke anyway. If you could support your overall cognitive health with a convenient, delicious daily chew, why wouldn't you? That's why I take Superbeats Memory and Focus Chews. They are great for helping to promote your brain blood flow and support your overall cognitive health. As you get older, you need to promote your brain blood flow. If you don't want to end up like a certain person whose sound cuts we were playing earlier in the day. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. You'll be able to recall the difference between the Secretary of State and the Foreign Minister. Combining clinically studied ingredients unique to this product, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps support reduced perception of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels of BDNF. BDNF is a key neuroprotein, and it's essential to sustaining memory, learning, and higher thinking as we age. And like other Superbeats products, Superbeats Memory and Focus was crafted under the careful guidance of scientists and features clinically studied key ingredients. It's the only cognitive chew of its kind. Like Superbeats Heart Chews, it comes wrapped in foil. It tastes good like candy. You can take a couple of foil-wrapped pieces with you throughout the and just eat them whenever you want in the course of the day. Give yourself a little boost, and you'll suddenly be feeling a little sharper. Do what I did and support your brain health and cognitive performance with Superbeats Memory and Focus. Get your Superbeats Memory and Focus today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Show.
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself.
The Howie Carr Show.
No, I'll call you after this. The state police just finally coughed up we've been seeking this list for weeks. It'll be in the paper tomorrow. With respect to your request for the reason why these troopers received dishonorable discharges, we FOIA'd Freedom of Information Act requests for troopers who had been given dishonorable discharges. The Division of Training Standards and Training provided the following information. Nidu Andrade, probationary employee. He was just a new recruit. Inappropriate texts sent. Dwayne Correa, that's the guy who had his gun stolen in Providence while he was shacking up with a woman. Corey Lee, off-duty incident, ethnic slurs used. Then there were some of the Troop E people. These are the people out on the pike who were irregularities. They were embezzling money, basically. They were taking overtime. They weren't entitled for it. That would be John Wozny, Todd Glidden, Keith Sweeney, Daniel Crespi, John Adams. Okay, so that was all Troop E, dishonorable discharges. Next one here, Robert Outwater, transfer of surplus weapons / missing weapons. David Nicastro, failed to stop motorist for motor vehicle violations and later cited him. Nicholas Holden, violated last chance agreement settlement by violating social media policy. Andrew Patterson, that's the Foxborough flasher. Off-duty incidents alcohol-related. Off-duty incidents alcohol-related. Paul Connelly, C-O-N-N-E-E-L-Y, sustained internal affairs charges, retired prior to conclusion. And Michael Aton, that's the one who he resigned prior to the pendency of two internal affairs investigations. He's the one who was charged with domestic abusing his wife in Wrentham a couple of weeks ago. So we'll have a story on that in the paper tomorrow. These are the dishonorable discharges in the last year. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how are you, Howie?
Good.
So, yeah, I'm one of those guys in leadership position for a financial institution. Got about 20 teams that work for me, so quite a few people. And I've seen about a 30% increase in performance.
Really?
Specifically around, yeah, since the pandemic. Now, we took a hit at the beginning. The first week was tough, but after that, basically what we call it is a velocity. Our velocity increased 30% and stayed steady. We have some blips here and there, but usually that's due to and network outages, things like that. But honestly, it's been really important to have tools that allow us to communicate better, that allow us to be productive. And I'm working more hours. My folks are working more hours. We're getting things done. We're happier. So I got to say, as cynical as you may sound,
I work with too many. Bob, I rely on too many people who work for the state. That's what makes me cynical.
Yeah, I mean, if we thought for once that there was a performance issue, people would be back in the office, right? But that's not the case. We're actually seeing performance increases.
What are you going to do when? What are you going to do though when you have to hire new people and they don't know anybody and they've never had been in the culture? Two time. We'll talk more about this later on. Thanks, Bob. Check out the Herald tomorrow if you want to see the list of dishonorably discharged. I'm Howie Carr.